Good morning. I am here today in this very different part of the sanctuary. It's a whole different perspective from up here, to speak to you as part of a series on spirituality. My first thought was to research exactly what that meant, and then I decided to go with my own understanding. Spirituality is how we nurture the positive spirit inside us. For some, it's studying the Bible. For some, it's prayer. For me, it's music. Most of you probably know that I am a teacher. I'm a music teacher in a middle school. I have been teaching for almost 30 years, and as I reach the light at the end of the tunnel in my career as a public school music teacher, I think about the things I repeatedly say to my students. No, not the things like, sit up tall, spit out your gum, or listeners please, but the mantras that I hope will stick with them as they continue on their life's journeys. Some of my favorite things to tell my students are, be responsible for your own education. Never let fear keep you from doing something worthwhile. And I am a singer because words mean things. When Pastor Bill first asked me to preach as part of this series, I said no in as many ways as I could think of. But the thought kept nagging at me. Was I letting fear keep me from doing something worthwhile? Could I take my own advice? It's easy for me to talk to my choirs about what touches my spirit in the music that I choose. It's part of my job to bring out the message of the text. But to stand up behind this very intimidating pulpit and preach to you about spirituality and music was way out of my comfort zone. And once again, I remembered my own words. I am a singer because words mean things. I can appreciate instrumental music. I certainly enjoyed the blues guitar that we heard today. But I personally am drawn to the text, the words, what the song is about. I want to know the story. I want to understand the composer's point of view. Hymns and congregational songs are poems set to music. They express feelings. They touch our hearts. They feed our spirits. At that point, I realized I had something to say. I will not let fear keep me from doing something worthwhile. I grew up in the Methodist Church before it was united, and I was in church every Sunday from as young as I can remember. Much of the service, of course, was over my head, but the best part for me was the music. I loved singing the hymns. When the sermons were too long for me to follow, I remember looking through the hymnal. I grew up on the old hymns. Faith of our fathers, blessed be the tie that binds, onward Christian soldiers. I never tire of singing Standing on the Promises, or Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, or The Old Rugged Cross. The phrases of these songs pop into my head in times of joy and times of sadness. When I see a beautiful sunrise or a clear night sky, I can't help but thinking of how great thou art. I remember the first time I heard the powerful message of his eye is on the sparrow. Music brings us together when words fail us. I think of the story of the band on the sinking Titanic playing Nearer My God to Thee. And I remember the TV clips of senators and representatives standing together on the steps of the Capitol singing God Bless America after 9/11. I am a singer because words mean things. Knowing the backstories of the hymns helps me to understand them. One of those stories is about a man named John Newton, who left school at the age of 11 to become a sailor, traveling the world's oceans in the tall ships of the 18th century. He eventually became involved in the inhuman practice of transporting natives from West Africa to be sold as slaves around the world. While at sea, he was caught in a fierce storm. As he feared for his life, he began to read The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A'Kempis. This book dramatically changed his life, and he became a Christian. Influenced by John and Charles Wesley, he became a minister, and he began writing hymns. He even helped to produce the Olney Hymnal. His hymn, Amazing Grace, is part of that collection. Until his death, John Newton never ceased to marvel at the grace of God that saved him from his wretched life. Shortly before his death, he proclaimed from the pulpit, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." Amazing Grace is a song of repentance, it's a song of hope, and it's a song of praise. I think also of Tommy Dorsey, a black gospel musician from the south side of Chicago. Grief-stricken at the sudden death of his wife and infant son, he sank into a deep depression and turned away from God. A few weeks later, in a hotel room in St. Louis, he considered ending his life. Instead, he picked up a pen and wrote these words, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." From the depths of grief and sadness, music brought him back to the light. When he was feeling most alone, he turned back to his musical and spiritual roots and put his thoughts into words that touch us all. While preparing my message for today, I read a book by Terry York and David Bolin called The Voice of the Congregation. In it, the authors describe three kinds of singers you find in a congregation. Some appear disinterested, mouths closed, perhaps even eyes shut. Others are trying to sing, but seem to be having a rough go of it. And some others are singing with abandon, not even looking at the hymnal. I like that. Singing with abandon. I thought these were interesting things for us to look at as a church and for each of us who come to worship at our Redeemers. Music is a wonderful and powerful way to help us connect to God's love, to nurture our spirits. And part of the reason I am here today is to help us all grow in our spirits through God's gift of music. So which one are you? Do you stand respectfully but barely participate? Do you try to sing but are self-conscious and insecure about your voice or the music? Or do you sing with abandon? Are you an active participant or a passive listener? Are you allowing the words to nurture your spirit or simply waiting for the organ to stop? Sometimes even I struggle when learning a new song, but mostly I sing the songs in church with my whole heart. It's the way I connect with the service. It's the way I worship. It's how I nurture my spirit. I am blessed to be in such a musically diverse church. We are fortunate at our Redeemers to have so many talented people lead the music. Once a month, our church is treated to a special musical presentation. No, not the chancel choir's favorite anthem, but the voices of our children. They sing straight from the heart. While they are well prepared and we all love Sue's directing talents, it is their spirit that is truly special. Some voices are stronger and others are quieter. Some know the words really well and others need Sue's special form of sign language. Some voices are on pitch and others maybe not. But I would wish that all of you could worship God through music as these children do. Their joy gives us joy. One of my frustrations as a middle school choir teacher is that our culture seems to think that only the best singers should sing. We idolize those with musical talents and categorize everyone as a have or a have not when it comes to singing ability. When people find out I'm a choir director, I often hear responses like, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, or you don't want me in your choir. Even Pastor Bill has made it clear that his son's musical talents didn't come from him. But singing in church is not about performance or great individual abilities. It is an act of community, of family, if you will. While we have wonderful musical leadership in this church, we need all of you to follow. I truly believe that all God's critters got a place in the choir. It is not about the beauty of the voices. Singing together in church unites us and makes us an active participant in the service. It is a form of worship, and the biggest payoff is for you, the singer, to be part of a song that you can't sing by yourself. The Sounds of Grace, the chancel choir, song leaders, and organist all help with the tune and the rhythm. They lead the music. But you must be a follower. You are responsible for connecting with the text. Not only do those words mean things, they were written by people who were touched by the Holy Spirit and put their thoughts on paper. And that spirit can come alive again in you as you sing. Now that's spirituality. If you've ever read the directions for singing in the beginning of our hymnal, you know that Charles Wesley said similar things back in the 18th century. I encourage you to read them all. They're rather enlightening. But here are some highlights. First, see that you join with the congregational singing as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. Jet lag, maybe? If it is a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. If singing is a burden, take it up, and your spirit will be blessed. Second, sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. I'm thinking of college days for some reason, but... Finally, above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when he cometh in the clouds of heaven. I think I would have liked Charles Wesley. And like him, I wish I had 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. As a teacher, I often get gifts from my students. From mugs to scented candles to the gift cards from Borders, they are always appreciated. This May, I received a very special plaque from one of my most talented students. It said, "Sing as though no one can hear." I would challenge you all. Be responsible for nurturing your own spirit. Don't let fear keep you from doing something worthwhile. Sing because words mean things. And sing as though no one on earth can hear. I'm going to conclude my sermon today by sharing a song that I've wanted to do for 15 or 20 years, and I've never performed before. It's a piece by William and Gloria Gaither, and I think it really fits with the sermon. It's called God Gave the Song. You through fields and forests, we'll climb the hills and still hear that song, for even hills resound with music. They just can't help it. God gave the song. Yes, God gave the song. It's always been with us. The song came into our world through a manger. A manger in Bethlehem. It was a simple song, a simple, lovely song for everyone. Right from the first, some tried to ignore it. They said, "There is no song. It simply doesn't exist." Others just tried to change the tune. They made laws to stop it. Armies marched against it. They killed some who sang the song. They screamed at it in fury. They tried to drown it out. Finally, they nailed that song to a tree. They said to themselves, "There, that should take care of that." But it didn't. What's that I hear? I still hear that music day after day. That song goes on. For once you know the source of music, you'll always hear it. God gave the song. Just can't.